With that, I think that's it. Let's begin with our service on the front page or first page of your bulletin. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, on this day, the church begins a holy season of prayerful and penitential reflection. Our attention is especially directed to the holy sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. From ancient times, the season of Lent has been kept as a time of special devotion, self-denial, and humble repentance born of a faithful heart that dwells confidently on His word and draws from it life and hope. Let us pray that our dear Father in heaven, for the sake of His beloved Son and in the power of His Holy Spirit, might richly bless this Lenten time for us, so that we may come to Easter with glad hearts and keep the feast in sincerity and truth. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, O Lord.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, O Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment.
Help us, O Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord,
to prosper the preaching of your word, to bless our prayer and meditation, to strengthen and preserve us in the true faith, and to give heart to our sorrow and strength to our repentance.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord,
to draw all to yourself, to bless those who are instructed in the faith, to watch over and console the poor, the sick, the distressed, the lonely, the forsaken, the abandoned, and all who stand in need of our prayers, to give abundant blessing to all works of mercy, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To turn our hearts to you, to turn the hearts of our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God.
We implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Amen. O God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they turn from their wickedness and live. We implore you to have compassion on the frailty of our mortal nature, for we acknowledge that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Mercifully pardon our sins, that we may obtain the promises you have laid up for those who are repentant. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please stand as we sing.
I have a
go to the altar of God.
To God my exceeding joy.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
Please be seated. Beloved in the Lord, it is our intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, in which he strengthens our faith by giving us his body to eat and his blood to drink. Therefore, it is proper that we diligently examine ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do, for his holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sin and who humbly confess their sins, fear God's wrath, and hunger and thirst for righteousness.
But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, he became man, so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and to deliver us, took upon himself our sin and the punishment we deserve.
So that we may more confidently believe this and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way also he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it's as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking into myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins, and to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink."
Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ, in Christ in him, and has eternal life.
We should all also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and one body, and drink from this one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with wine of many grapes, and one bread made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him, we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. May the Almighty and merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us.
Amen.
Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins to him, imploring him for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Please stand.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith.
Amen.
Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made and forgive the sins of all who are repentant. Create in us new and contrite hearts that, lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We sing. Our scripture reading for this night of Ash Wednesday comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. We continue with our hymn.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, amen. It's a little weird being able to do this without a mask, but I'm happy to be able to, we can do this. But one of the observations that is pointed out to me on occasion, and I believe people mean it to be a compliment, obviously, but people often say to me that I have a bit of a sunny disposition. Not to toot my own horn, but people like to tell me that I'm rather happy and joyful, that nothing seems to cramp my style, and maybe I'm a little carefree. I guess people like to tell me that I seem to give off a sense of joy all the time, that I'm happy about life. Perhaps after you have gotten to know me the last 6 months, maybe you have observed something similar. And it's very kind of people. I guess I always take it as a compliment. I think it is. And I can admit, I try not to come off as someone who's too serious or present myself as abrasive. And even though I may lack some of the huge level of excitement and energy, I do try to give off a sense of happiness. But I have gotten to know many of you. And many times I experience the same happiness from all of you. Even though people might have pointed this out to me, and they seem to think it's a good quality that I have, I can't help but wonder if it's a bit of a problem. I'm not saying I wish I was angry or sad all the time, but I do wonder if I unintentionally turn away certain people who are a little more down in the dumps. I sometimes worry that people might not approach me because they wouldn't want to harm my upbeat-go-lucky attitude, or because they don't want someone like me to cheer them up. I can't help but wonder if I'm part of the problem of always being a little happy. Today is Ash Wednesday. We're beginning our time of the Lenten season, and as you know, the time is far more reflective, and the hymns, as you notice, tend to be more sad. And for many of us, perhaps this is not our favorite season. But maybe we've come to understand that it's necessary, an important part of our journey toward Easter Sunday. But the dark mood, the darkness, the gloominess, maybe it pushes us away from being involved in a day like Ash Wednesday, or maybe even being involved in the service of Good Friday. Because there is something incredibly sad about Ash Wednesday, about this gloomy time in Lent. Because when we think of church, a lot of times we think of the gospel. It ought to be a joyous time. And we ought to come here and find happiness and find joy. Yet we have these special 40 days set aside to think about sadness. But I do know a friend who actually loves Ash Wednesday. He loves the Lenten season because for him, it's the time the church gives permission for people to be sad. And I think that's something beautiful about Ash Wednesday. We are permitted and we are invited to be sad. And that's something we push so hard against, something we fight constantly. Because we have been taught that we shouldn't be sad. We should always look for the silver lining, the bright side of life, to the good things coming around the bend. We're taught early on that we shouldn't be sad, that no one really wants to be around someone who's sad. No one wants to be around a loser. We want to mend and fix the sadness. I know it's a problem I have. I want to fix a lot of things, and I want to bring cheer to people when they're frustrated, sad, or going through a tough time. And the truth of the matter is, it's because we never know what to do when someone is actually sad. When they come among us and they're not wanting to be cheered up, we're not really sure what to say. We look for excuses to not be sad. But Paul, in our text, doesn't allow us to do such things. Paul in 2 Corinthians explains the work him, Timothy, and Titus are doing as ministers of reconciliation. The life of one who was sent to preach the gospel, but it's a reality all Christians have to face. He sets up these seemingly contradicting things, like holding the promises of God through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. And our focus for today is in verse 10 from chapter 6. And we live as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As sad, yet always rejoicing. Paul is not saying, when you become sad, or at times sadness strikes you, or when you are in grief, to find some charm, some joy, some silver lining. But he says, in your sadness. Joy does not predominate sadness in some way. Paul is not saying that in these times, cheer up. He says, we live as people who are punished, sorrowful, poor, having nothing, sad. Sadness is the realization that God's good creation is not functioning the way it should. We should not try to escape the sadness, because it's real. Because it lives around us. It's in our lives. Paul is saying that sadness is good. Sadness is good because the more you learn the original purposes of God's creation, the more you delve into what God actually intended for his creation to be, you'll be sad. You see the suffering. You experience the maliciousness of people. You see death. You see the ashes of what once was beautiful. Usually on Ash Wednesday, we're able to receive ashes. And we speak these terrible words when we place the ashes on your forehead. We say, from dust you came, and to dust you shall return. Each one of you would have walked up, and these same words would be repeated and used. Essentially, from dust you came, to dust you shall return. Essentially saying, you will die. You will die. If we really think about it, the feeling that should overcome us is sadness. Because if we all received these ashes, you would look around and see the same black mark on all of our foreheads, indicating the person will die, that they will be dust. Sadness is a reality we face, and we must face it. There's no whitewashing or sugarcoating life, no looking around the bend or walking for waiting and things to get better. You will die. And that should strike us with considerable sadness. Our loved ones will die. A sadness that the world seeks to avoid. A reality the world tries so hard to cover up with the next foolproof life-saving product, with something safer or some way to survive the next tragedy. We even use language to try to cover it up, like pass away, no longer with us, trying to make the blow of death less real. Because we're not allowed to be sad in the world. We didn't get to do ashes today. But if you have ever dealt with ashes before, you know that ashes are pretty messy and they get everywhere. They stain and stick to your clothes, to everything. And when they're on your forehead, if there's enough on there and they're rubbed in, they're a nuisance and you want to itch your face or wipe it off. And sometimes they can be really difficult to wash. Sadness is the same way. It's messy. It sticks and stains. It's a nuisance. It's not easy to get rid of. But joy also sticks and stains. For joy is not easy to get rid of. Joy is not merely moments of happiness, but joy is also a reality we face. And it's in this joy that makes the Christian life different in the midst of a world of sadness. What makes the Christian life different is what Paul says in our text. In sorrowfulness, yet there is joy. We live in sadness, yet there is joy. It's not one or the other, it's both and. We must acknowledge and face and accept sadness in the world, but the Spirit turns us towards something good, right, and excellent and beautiful. Our broken hearts are put in the hands of Jesus Christ. We are turned to Him. Our sadness, yet there is joy. The Lord of creation, Jesus Christ, is the joy that is a reality today. Even in the midst of the sadness, Jesus Christ is your joy, because it's in Him all those things have an end and everything begins. He comes to restore and renew His creation, to set things right, to put it back in its proper order, to set you right and put you in the right relationship with your Father. He gives you life in Him. To rejoice in the Lord is not to pretend that suffering has been banished from the world or that there should be no place for sadness. To rejoice in the Lord is to see our sadness in the light of God's promises fulfilled in Jesus. It is to live in the hope that God, the Creator, shall yet turn our mourning into dancing. While the ashes remain, the ashes also direct us and turns us to see why we can always rejoice. Because while they stick to our forehead, they do take the shape of a cross. Jesus Christ is the victor, the one who saves, your hope and object of your faith, the one you trust, your Savior. He will right all that is wrong. And when He returns, He will bring the completion of His full reign and rule over His good and beloved creation. And you will be a part of it and have life in His name. This is His creation, and He is renewing it now, and that work has already begun. We are sorrowful, yet with exceeding joy. And we catch glimpses of that exceeding joy in Christ when the creation operates the way that God intended it to. When a husband and a wife reconcile their marriages, when fathers embrace their sons in love, when you faithfully respond to the callings and vocations that God has called you to be and take responsibility for, we catch a glimpse of that new creation. Yes, you are sad and broken, yet you are always rejoicing and free because you know how it'll end. The ashes, the dust, and sadness will not always remain. They will only remain for a lifetime. But the rejoicing, that will always remain. Always. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue with our hymn on page 9 of our bulletin.
Thank you.
as you're able, please stand. We continue with the service of the sacrament where we receive Christ's body and blood to renew us and strengthen us in the faith. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and singing. Disciples saying, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And after he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do in remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We sing. Thank you. Please stand. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace.
Amen.
We sing our final hymn. Please be seated.